Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hey. We begin on Ayin Hey, I'm an Aleph, at the last of the thinner lines, a little bit, about a third of the way down of the Daf already, with the quoting from the Pasuk, Zochreinu es hadaga asher nochal b'mitzrayim. Klaiso was complaining that they ate fish in Mitzrayim, and it was b'chinam, asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. They ate fish for free in Mitzrayim. What in the world did this Pasuk mean? That's what the Gemara is now going to discuss. So this is the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, what this Pasuk means. Rav and Shmuel, chadamar dogim, chadamar arayas, that this Pasuk that they ate the fish for free is a euphemism according to one of them. It means arayas, but according to the first opinion, it means actual fish, that they ate fish for free. And the other one is that they were able to engage in arayos, various relations that are now prohibited to the Jewish people. In Mitzrayim, they were able to engage in such relations. So the word dog is a euphemism. What's the svara behind each of these opinions? Man yomar dogim mamish, the one that said it is actually talking about dogim, that they ate free fish in Mitzrayim, that's it nocha, because it uses the term terminology that we ate, that Zochreinu es hadaga asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinum, that we ate in Mitzrayim, that implies something that you literally ate, and therefore it was literally talking about free fish. And the other opinion that says it was arayas, Raman Yom arayas, why did he say arayas? Because d'chsiv chinum, because they ate it for free, and Mitzrayim, Rashi points out, didn't even give them the bricks to go and build their buildings for free, so certainly they weren't going to go and give them free food. This Rashi that I just said is not found here in our Gemara. This is found in Chumash in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Hey, where Rashi quotes the Sifri over there that says, "Valo kvar nemar v'teven lo yinosin lechem," that the Egyptians didn't even give them the straw to build the bricks. So im teven lo yinosin lechem chinam, dogim lo yinosin lechem chinam. It's impossible to think that if they didn't give them the straw, that they gave them fish for free. But by the way, Rashi also points out over here that this lashon of arayas is from v'yidgu l'rov, that they will multiply. So therefore, that's where the lashon of dogim means arayas. So we obviously always have the question in this situation, what does each opinion do with the other opinion's raya? The opinion that said it's dogim mamish, what do they do with the word schinam? And the opinion that says that it's a euphemism for arayas, what do they do with the word nochal? So that's what the Gemara now asks. Ulman diyom arayas, according to the opinion that says it means arayas, it's a euphemism for arayas, v'yidgu l'rov, Dogim doesn't mean fish, it means arayas. I huxiv nochal. It uses the terminology of nochal, which implies eating. So what does that have to do with arayas? So Gemara says, no, this is lishno ma'ayinokat. This is another euphemism. The Gemara always uses a very clean type of a language. Right, we call relations tashmish. We say it's bia. We don't use a more vulgar terminology. So there too, over here, this nochal is a very nice terminology for relations. The siv, ochla, the pasuk in Mishle tells us that a woman who is nebuch committing adultery, so ochla, she eats, which is a euphemism for committing adultery, umocha sapia, then she wipes off her mouth. So this is continuing with the euphemism of eating and wiping off the mouth, and Rashi explains this means mikaneches pia shamata. She cleans off her genital area after she has the relations, the adulterous relations. The omer, and then she says, lo pal di omer, I did nothing wrong, because look, it's all clean. I cleaned up, so ochlo mochasapia, and therefore she says I didn't do anything wrong. So this is another lashon saginor, another euphemism over here to continue the analogy that the fish is referring to arayas, so too she eats, that's a reference to the act of adultery, the act of committing a sexual immorality. Okay, so that's what the man d'yomer says arayas does with the word nochal. No, the other opinion that says it means dog and mamish, the man d'yomer dog and mamish, my chilam, so what does it mean for free? As we just pointed out from the Sifri, it's not for free. So no, the Gemara answers, yes, it was for free. The habu, my sinin luhu meyefkera, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace happen, and when they drew up water from the river, so little fish came up into it as well. D'yomer mar, Gemara tells us, kishayu yisrael shavim mayim, when the Jewish women would go and draw the water, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazbil hem besol chamayim dogim ketanim b'chadein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that there would be little fish inside their jugs. So this was an ace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and that's what it meant, b'chinam. It actually was for chinam. Not that the Egyptians gave it to him for chinam, but it didn't cost them anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this ace. So again, each of the opinions has explained that the other one's raya. Gemara says, still, b'shlom al-man d'yom dogim, everything works out well according to the first opinion. It says it means dogim ma'amish. We understand why it uses the terminology dogim. Aval arayas lo pritzi behu, but that implies that, according to the other man d'yomer, that they were negligent in sexual immoralities, that they nebuch did all sorts of arayas, but that doesn't jibe with what we learned in Shir HaShirim. It tells us in Shir HaShirim that Klai Yisrael is described as being very virtuous. Hainu, the kosav, gan nol achol sichala. v'gomer. So we have that Klal Yisrael is referred to as a gan noel. And the gomer, the end of the pasuk is gan noel achosi kala, gal noel mayon chosum. So they're considered a mayon chosum. Again, the raya over here is from the end of the pasuk, which is the gomer. It's very funny. The Gemara often does that. They only quote the first part of the pasuk, and the real raya is from the end of the pasuk. So it says, Elo leman diomar raya, according to the opinion, it says this is a raya. So they were promiscuous in this guy. My mayon chosum. Why is it called a sealed spring, a sealed well? If you're saying that they were promiscuous, then they're, quote, not sealed. So how do you explain this pasuk of gan nol achosi chala? So the Gemara says, according to the opinion, it says zarayis, it means that they were not promiscuous with things that even a ben noach wasn't allowed to have relations with, but they were promiscuous with things that a Yisrael is only prohibited from, but a nochri is not. So in Mitzrayim, they took advantage, so to say, of these leniencies. So mehanach the asirin lo pritzavu, anything that was also for ben noach, so that they were very good with. But things that were also for yid, but not also for ben noach, so that they took advantage of in Mitzrayim, and now they regretted that they had to give that up. Oh, we remember how we had all these permitted sexual relationships in Mitzrayim that are now also to us. And in fact, that's going to be a raya towards the opinion that says it was Arayas that they were lamenting about. Bishlam Laman Diomar Arayas, according to the opinion that says it's Arayas, oh, now we understand, Hainu Dixiv, that Moshe says, Vayishma Moshe Esom Bochel Mishmechosov. Moshe heard them crying about their lack of having the ability to have relations with their family members that they were previously allowed to have relations with when they were Ben Noach. But now that they're Yisrael, so they're restricted from having relationships, for example, with their aunt. So now they can't have that. So they cried about bochel lemishbechosav. They cried about not having relations with those family members that are now also for them to have relations with. As Rashi points out, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us in Daf Nun Zayin with Beis that erva should based in Shisrael mimisin aleha, any erva that would get misis based in, so then Ben Noach is also muzer aleha. And any erva that Yisrael would only get karis for, so Ben Noach is permitted. So therefore, the heimbachu al hanosafos, they cried about the lack now of having relations with their aunt or things like that. So therefore, it's al iske mishbechosav that they were crying. So the man diyomer that says it's talking about arayis makes very good sense. Now, shenesu lehem lishka vetzel, they couldn't have relations anymore with those family members. But according to the opinion, it says elaman diyomer dogim. So then, my bochel mishbechosav. Then, what does it mean they were crying about their families? What does that have to do with the fish? So it says, no, Taka, the opinion that says it's the Daga, also says they were crying about the no longer having the ability to have relationships with those family members that are now prohibited. So the one that says, Zacharnu es Daga, also says that it means not only the fish, but it also talks about the relations that now were also to them. Now the Gemara tells us that they also said in that same pasuk, oi, we remember not only the fish, but we also remember Eis HaKishuim, Ve'es HaVatichim, Ve'es HaChotzir, Ve'es HaBetzolim, Ve'es HaShumim. That's the end of that pasuk of Zechayinu Es HaDogam. Now, what exactly are these types of five types of produce that they're not allowed to eat? So Rav Ami Ravasi, here we have another. Yesterday year we had a number of bachlokas in between Rav Ami Ravasi, so here we have another one. One of them, we don't know which one said which, said Chalamar, that this, the kishuim and avatichim, etc., that they weren't allowed to eat these five vegetables, is because tam kolaminim tamu baban. In general, the mon tasted like anything you wanted to taste like. That was one of the miraculous things about the mon, that if you wanted to have a steak, you had steak. If you wanted peanut butter, you had peanut butter. If you wanted Cheerios, you had Cheerios. It tasted like whatever you wanted to have. However, there was five exceptions. These five things, the kishuim, the avatichim, the chotzir, the betzolim, and the shumim, so these were dangerous for a pregnant woman, Rashi tells us, and therefore, tam chameshes haminim halalu lo tamu bo. They weren't able to go and taste these things because it was dangerous for a pregnant woman, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, said, no, nobody can have this. Because a woman might not know that she's pregnant. If she wants to have the avatiach taste, wants to have the kishuim taste, it could, rachmon al-islan, harm her baby. Rashi brings down the sources for this. From Sifri, said that it says a woman shouldn't eat batzel b'mnatino. It could harm her child if she has an onion. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, across the board, it won't taste like these things. That's the first opinion. The other opinion was, no, it would taste like it, but it wouldn't have the feel of it. Tam kolaminim tamu, tamu mamashim. In regards to all other foods, a steak, if you wanted to have a steak, it tasted like a steak, and it felt like a steak in terms of the texture, in terms of the whole experience. As opposed to these things, if you wanted to eat avatiach, if you wanted to have chatzir, these five produce, so then you could taste it, halol tamon, however low and washed, but didn't have the feel for it, and therefore, that's what they were complaining about. Then we quote the pasuk. Now, we have the a little bit of an incorrect quote over here. We have Bahamon Kizera God Lavon Mitamo, so the real full pasuk should be Vayikru Veis Yisrael Es Shemo Mon Vehu Kizera God Lavon Mitamo Kitzapi Chis Midvash. But we're really only interested in the words Vehu Kizera God Lavon. So the Mon had two properties. It was Kizera God and it was Lavon. So that's what we're now going to darshan. So I'm Ravasi. Ravasi tells us Ogul Kigida. It was round like a certain type of a seed, the coriander seed. Gida is coriander, but it was lavon kemar golius. Rashi explains it. The Gemara is explaining over here. Ravasi is saying that, wait a second, coriander seeds aren't white. So how can you tell me it was kizera god lavon? It was like a white coriander seed. Coriander seeds aren't lavon, Rashi says. That's what Ravasi is having to address over here. Zera hagad ain't no lavon, Rashi tells us. Oh, but it is ogul. It is round, oval. And therefore, that's what the pasuk means. Vu ogul, it is oval, round, kizera god, like the coriander seed. However, the lavon kemar golius, it is white like a pearl. Similarly, the Gemara says, now, Tani Nami Hochi, that's the Gersu that we have, because it's going to be somewhat in support of what we just said. However, in the Mesoros HaShas, he brings down that the Gersu should be a Tana Rabbanan. It's another Brisa. It's not really Tani Nami Hochi. It's not 100% supportive of it. And what does this Brisa say? When the Pasuk calls the Mon God, it refers to the Mon is Kizera God, so it means Shadome Lezera Pishton. It looks like a flax seed by Kivolim that's in its shell. Acherim Omrim, another opinion is that God is called God, Shadom Lahagoda, because it's like teaching, it's like talking. Shemosheches libo shel adam kamaya. Just like the words will sometimes, if you have a good fourth spice of the Divrei Torah, so it will lead you to want to learn more Torah. So too, if you have the mon, it will want you to eat more. It will lead you to eating more. It will open up your appetite. That's what it means, God, love one. It flows like water. Alternatively, Tanya Yiduch, another Brisa says that the word God means God, Shemagilem liYisrael, Ibn Tisha l'Rishon, Ibn Shiva l'Achron. It tells us whether this is the child of the first husband or the child of the second husband. What are we talking about over here? So the Tosus Yishanim explains, Adayin lo Gozru, they haven't yet at this point in time had the Gzerah that the rabbis instituted that a woman should wait, what's called a din of Hamstana, that she should wait after Rechmon Atzlan, her first husband, dies or she gets divorced, so then she has to wait 3 months before marrying. So this Gzerah wasn't yet in place. Shalo Gozru Shetzrichus Lahamtin Shloshesh Chadoshim Mishum Havchana, this din of Havchana, to know who the child's father is. You want to always know who the child's father is. Now, let's say she got her husband Nebuch died or got divorced on Aleph Nisan, and then she remarried Beis Nisan, so then she could have had relations with her husband the day before the first husband, and now she's having relations with the second husband a day later. If she gives birth to a child, you're not going to know who's the father of the child. Maybe it's still from the first husband, maybe it's still from the second husband. And that's why it says over here, Ben Tishal Rishon, maybe this is a 9-month child. Her first husband died 9 months ago, that's the last time she had relations with him, or they were divorced, and now she remarries, and 7 months into the marriage of her second husband, she gives birth to a child. So you don't know if this is a 9-month child from the first husband, or Ibn Shiva Lachman, or it's a 7-month child for the second husband. Again, they had two expected gestation periods. Either everything was normal 9 months, or they actually had a gestation period that was 7 months. No, they didn't have 8 months. That's why you have the Hogemar and Shabbos that tells us that a child born after 8 months is not going to survive because it's premature. A 7 month is not premature. That's because they had a separate cycle of gestation of 7 months. We're not really familiar with that medically today, but in any event, so this idea of Havchana, so we make the woman wait 3 months, so therefore there is no concern, but this was before that Gezerah, and therefore the Mon would tell us who the father was, by which house it fell by. If the Mon fell by the first husband's house, so then he was the father of the child. Every child, every person Kleisel was given a portion of Mon, and where that portion fell would determine which house that child belonged to. And that's what the pasuk means when it says that the mon is kizera God. It tells us, it's magid to tell us who is the father of the child, ben tishal rishon or ben shival yachron. And why is it used the term lavon? So it tells us shemal ben avanoseim shal yisrael. As Rashi explains, we had this previously. One of the quote afflictions of the mon was you couldn't keep the mon for safekeeping. It would melt. It would burn away. It would be destroyed. It would come spoiled if you tried to keep it for the next day. So you had to rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day. That's really a wonderful bracha. But at the same time, Rashi points out, and this Rashi is on the Tosfos side, top line on the Tosfos side. So mitoch shayu dogim shem lo yered man lamacha. They're always concerned. Hey, if we're not good, the man won't come down tomorrow. Hayu mishabdim libam lamakom. They would therefore subordinate themselves, subjugate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it was malvin avoseinu shiyisrael. That's why Rashi understands this, that it caused them to be good because they knew if they weren't good, the man wouldn't come. Others explain, no, based upon the Gemara that we just said, if a person were to commit some sort of irregularity and immorality, so it would become well known to everybody else. Hey, how come that lady that everybody is suspecting you of being with gets an extra portion of money for a child, and it's by your house and not by her house? So therefore, it would be causing people not to do sins because they know they're going to get caught. Okay, Tanya, similarly, the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yossi tells us, Kishem Shan Novi Hoya Magid Lemli Yisrael, Masha Bahorinu Masha Bistokim, just like a Novi in Klai Yisrael tells us all sorts of hidden things. That's the way Rabbeinu Yochim understands this. He says, he tells you all sorts of things that aren't clear. The Novi clarifies things that you don't understand. And that's why the example of here is, he tells you what's in the Chorin, in the little holes, and in the stock, in the little cracks, which you can't see. So the Novi comes and explains them. So too, the Mon would do the same thing. It would explain all the hidden things. Kachamon Magid Lemli Yisrael, Masha Bahorin, Masha Bistokim. The Mon would tell them hidden things. And the Gemara will now give us an example of what it did. This we already gave one example. Here's another example. Ketzad. How did the Mun reveal stuff? So Shnayim Shabol Bnei Moshe Ladin. If two people came to Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to a Din Torah, and each of them made a claim, and they didn't have witnesses, there was no way for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand which is the correct person and which is the liar, who's telling not the truth. So Zeh Omer Avi Ganati. So Reuven comes along and says that Shimon stole my slave. That's why Shimon has the slave in his possession. It's my slave. Zeh Omer, Shimon says, Ata Mechadli, what are you talking about? I didn't steal it from you. I bought it from you. Now, they don't have proof. So what are they supposed to do? How's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to know? He said, she said. It's two people talking here. How's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to know? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what? Amalei Moshe, Laboker Mishpat. Tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will paskin this Din Torah. Let's see where the mon falls. Every Eved, every person is entitled to a share of mon. So if you have five people in your household, not including the Eved, you have five people in your household, not including the Eved, and one of you has the Eved, so the one who has the Eved theoretically should get six pieces of mon. But we'll see where the mon falls. If it falls by the person who has the Eved, then Taka, you did buy it from him. If it falls by the first person, by Reuven, so then Taka, Reuven was right and said that Shimon stole the Eved from him. So Labok El Mishpat, we'll find out tomorrow. Lamachar, they would see. Im Nim Tsa'om Robevayis, Rabbi Rishon was found by Reuven, by the first person, so that'd be a duah, Shazer Genovo. Then it would be clear that Shimon stole it. Im Nim Tsa'om Robevayis, Rabbi Sheni. And if the mon is in fact found, the extra portion is found in Shimon's house, so then Taka, he did buy it from him, Biyadua, Shazem Harulu, and Reuven is the one that's making up the false claim right now. And similarly, V'chein, we have the same thing, and that's what we just brought down in the Gemara previously, Ish V'isha Shabol of Moshe Ladin, that if a husband and a wife came to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Din Torah, the woman is being divorced by the husband, and he says it's the wife's fault, and therefore she's not entitled to a kesuba. And the woman says, what are you talking about? I want to live with you. You're divorcing me, so I'm entitled to my kesuba. So again, who is right? There's no way to know. So say Omer, he saw Cholai. So the man says, she did something wrong to me that made her lose her kesuba. But he, Omer, so the wife says, no, who saw Cholai? He's not treating me properly. And he's the one that's just divorcing me and making up these false claims about me to say I should lose my kesuba, but I really deserve my kesuba. So how's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to know? Again, Omelet Moshe. Moshe says, the man will tell us. The man will decide. It will tell us, Magid Lemli Yisrael, Masha Bechorin, Masha Bistokim. It will tell us these hidden matters. Laboka Mishpat, in the morning we will see who is right. So the next day, Lamachar, if the man for her falls into her husband's house, so biyadua, she saw chalav. So she really should be there still, but she did something wrong that forced her to be kicked out of that house. So therefore, she's the one at wrong, and she's not entitled to a ksuba. However, nimso omra bevesavia, if you were to find the mun by her father's house, in other words, if she's divorced, she's going to go back to her father's house, so then that's the rightful place for her to be. So biyadua, shu sarachla. It's obvious that he didn't treat her properly, and therefore, he is, in fact, obligated to pay her ksuba, and the mun would therefore be the judgment, would be the mechanism by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would paskin this din for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gevurah Sarit says an interesting point. He says, why do you have to check both places? Why do you tell me if you find it here, then he's right. If you find it there, then she's right. Just check one place. If the mun's there, fine. If the mun's not there, then we know the answer. So the Gevurah Sarit says, yeah, Taka, they didn't check both places. They just checked one place. If the mun was there, so he was right. If the mun wasn't there, then automatically she was right. You didn't have to check the other place. But sometimes her house, her father's house, would be closer than his house to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gevurah Sarit says, in order not to be Matriach Moshe, they would go to the house that was closer. Sometimes it would be his house, sometimes it would be her father's house. And that's what it means. They would go check one of the two houses. There's no reason to check both of the two houses. Now the Gemara tells us more about the money. It says in the pasuk, "Uberedes hatal al hamachane loyla." When the mon came down on the encampment, yered hamon ola. The mon came down. Now this implies that the mon fell actually in the machane itself. But another pasuk says, "Uksiv v'yotzu amalok too." The people had to go out of the camp and go and collect the mon. That implies that it fell not in the machane. So the two psukim seem to be a steer to each other. And then you have a third pasuk, "Uksiv shatu amalok too." That some of the people have to really go far away. They have to go well beyond the camp, not right outside the camp, but they have to go a long distance to go get the mon. So you have three psukim. One says it fell right by their houses. One says it fell outside the camp. One says it fell really far away from the camp. So haketzan, how do you have all three psukim reconciled? So the Gemara tells us the answer. Rashi brings us down the Chumash. Tzadikim yored al pesach botam. The tzadikim, the mon fell right on their doorstep. They didn't have to go out far. They would wake up in the morning, they'd go to the door, and the mon was there. The Beinanim, the average person, yatzu v'loktu. They had to go out. It fell right outside the machaneh, but they didn't have far to go. And the Rishayim knew they had to, Hashem had to sustain the Rishayim also, but he made them work for it. Shatu v'loktu. They had to go far away and go and collect the mon. Similarly, we have the same idea that the mon is called lechem, the mon is called ugos, and the mon is called, that it had to be ground up. So ksiv lechem, one pasuk tells us that the mon is referred to as lechem. Hinei matir lechem lechem in hashamayim. Another pasuk says ugos, that they're referred to as ugos, ksiv ugos. This pasuk is shatu on v'laktu v'tochanu borechayim odocho b'medocho uvishlu b'paror v'yasu oso ugos. So they made him into ugos. And then uksiv v'tochanu, that I just read in the pasuk, it says that they will grind it up, v'tochanu borechayim. So which one is it? It seems to be implying that all of these are mentioned over here. It's called lechem, it's called ugos, and it's called v'tochanu. So which one is it? So again, okay, it's sad. They seem to be a steer to each other. So more says, no, again, the tzadikim, it came down as fully edible bread. They didn't have to do anything to it. Tzadikim lechem. Beinonim, ugos, it came down as a piece of dough, so to say, ugos, a round piece of dough that they had to go and bake. And Rishayim, they not only had to go and bake it, tochanu berechayim, they had to grind it up and make it into flour, and then make it into a dough, and then make it into the bread. So each of them had more work to do if they were less deserving. We have a similar idea. The pasuk tells us, O docho b'medocho, it says that they'll grind it up. Now, you didn't really have to grind it up in this fashion, so it's coming to darshan or something. It says that the Rishayim were tochanu berechayim, but it doesn't say that they have to docho b'medocha. So the extra words, docho b'medocha, come to teach us something. Some of Yudam Arav, or alternatively, Vitema Rav Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, either as Yudas Edim Arav, or Rav Chama, who was the son of Rabbi Chanina, said as follows, Malami shiorad lehem liyisrael im hamon tachshitei noshim, an unbelievable thing. With the mon came down from Shemayim tachshite noshim. Rashi tells us tachshite noshim are besomim, various types of fragrances, spices, shem dochos meducha, that they had to chop up in the mortar, umiskashtos behem, and then they would adorn themselves with them, lios rechon ori luvalei. So they would have a nice perfume, a nice fragrance, and this way they would be desirable to their husbands. So again, amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in sholom bayis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only interested in our physical bodies to give us food, but he also wants us to be spiritually, to have shalom bayis. And as important as the man was, it's also equally important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send down something to bring shalom ben ish l'ishto. And he sent down these tachshitei noshim. What an unbelievable drasha. And he tells us, dover shenidoch b'medocha, this that came down from Shemayim is something that had to be ground up in a mortar. Ubishlu b'parah. And then the pasuk also tells us another thing. Ubishlu b'parah. They also had to cook it in a pot. This is something else. So Amar Rechama, this is referring to Malami Shiorah Lem Yisrael Imamon Tzike Kedera. All sorts of other spices came down to make the dishes even more tasty. As the mon could taste like anything that they wanted to. So nevertheless, they would go and bake it in a pot or cook it in a pot, so therefore it would taste even better. They would put in these various tavlin, letavshu, Rashi says, orev umavusam, to make it into a very, very tasty and delicious dish. In addition, it says with the mon also came down precious jewels. As we dash in for the following pasuk, the pasuk tells us that the people came and brought to Moshe Rabbeinu for the Mishkan extra presents. They may be a love od nedava baboke baboke. They brought additional presents in the morning. Boke baboke. Now, what does it mean? My baboke baboke. What does it mean in the morning? So we dash it as follows. Amar Rishu ben Achmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. Rishu ben Achmeni said, Rav Yonasan, Midavar sheyorad lehem baboker baboker. They brought these presents that came along with something that came down every morning, which was the bun. Melamit sheyardu lehem Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down to Klai Yisrael, avonim tovos, all sorts of precious stones, umargolios, and diamonds, and jewels, and pearls, im hamon. He sent down all of these things with the bun. And we see a riot to this from the following pasuk, which literally means "Vanesiim hevi wasabni hashoam." It means that the Nesiim, the heads of the different tribes of Klai Yisrael, they brought the jewels, the gems for the Abnei Shoham. But we dash in the word Nesiim in a way that it means it came from Shemayim. Tana, we learn in another brisa that it means here Nesiim mamash. It doesn't mean the heads of the Shvatim. It means the clouds. Nesiim is a word for clouds, meaning it came from Shemayim. Nesiim mamash, the Nesiim, the clouds brought down as the Abnei Shoham. V'chein Womer, as we see the pasuk that tells us in Mishlei, it tells us Nesiim v'ruach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings clouds and he brings the wind. However, v'geshemayim, he doesn't bring the rain. And they darsh in this that it means that people make pledges in shul and they don't fulfill their pledges. So that's like, oh, person says, I'm donating $1,000 for the mikvah fund. And then he doesn't bring it. So it looks like there's going to be water coming down. Nesiim v'ruach, there's lots of pledges, there's lots of talk, but v'geshemayim, but then they don't pay up their pledge. So therefore, this Nesiim means the clouds. And literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down these precious stones with the mun from the clouds. Now the Gemara says, the mun v'hayotamo kitam l'shad ha'shomen. The mun tasted like l'shad ha'shomen. Now that literally means a dough that is basted with oil. So Amar Rabbi Yavo says, no, we darshan the word l'shad ha'shemen in two different ways. The first one is Rabbi Yavo. He says, ma shad zeh. Shad is shodayim, means the breast of the mother. So tinok toim bo kamatamim. The child, when he drinks the mother's milk, so if the mother had spicy food at night, so when the child drinks, it's going to taste like a spicy milk that he's having. If the mother has a sweet food, so the child's going to have a sweeter milk. If the mother has a sour type of a food, it's going to taste the sourness. So the child, when he drinks, he nurses from the mother, so he tastes whatever the mother had. So just like from the breast, the child is toim bo kamatamim. He tastes multiple different things. Every milk from the mother doesn't taste the same. So to the mon, afa mon. Kolzman shisol ochlin oso, motzu bo kama tomim. When the Klai Yisrael ate it, they could taste it whatever they liked. They wanted a steak, it tastes like a steak. As I said, they wanted fish, it tasted like fish. Alternatively, Rabbi Yavo says, ikad diamre, no, it means l'shed mamish. It means l'shad hashom, it means a shade. Now, some aren't going to use the word mamish, but in any event, it means that it's like a shade. What's a shade? A shade is these shadim, these demons we don't fully understand. So my shade, zemisapech l'kamo givonim, just like the shade has the ability to go change into different colors. Givonim is like shapes or different colors. So too, the mon could change into different tastes. Afamon misapech l'kamo to'omim. So that's what it means, l'shad hashom, and either it means the shadayim of the mother, or it means like a shade that can change appearances. So too, the food of the mon, like the mother's milk, or like the shadim, can have multiple different tastes. We continue dashing about the mon, and the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe." Moshe tells us, "Beseis Hashem lochem bo'erev basul lechol velechem abokel isbo'a." HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the slav at night, and he gave you in the morning the mon. So, what does this mean? Tana Mishmei the Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. They learned in the Brayse in the name of Yeshua ben Karcha, the basa sha'alu shalolu kahogen, nitan lahem shalolu kahogen. The basa which they asked for improperly, they had plenty of food, they had plenty of meat, and they said, we don't have any meat. So therefore, they asked for that improperly, they were punished for it, as we'll see. So that which they asked for improperly, it was given to them improperly. And we turn to Ayin Hei Omer Beis, and that, lechem shalolu kahogen, they had a right to ask for bread. Person, you know, bread is the staff of life. You can't live without bread. So bread, they were entitled to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you please give us bread? So lechem shesholu kahogen, so nitam lahem kahogen. It was given to them properly early in the morning. And here we see an important idea. So the Braisa tells us, Nehru Shuvim Kochot, Mikan Lim the Torah De'acheretz. Torah teaches us the proper way of a person. Shelo yochal odom basar ela b'layla. You should only eat meat at night. And therefore, they were given the meat at night, but they couldn't prepare it at night, so they had to prepare for the morning, and that's wrong. They were asking for it inappropriately, so it was given to them inappropriately. So from here, we can see the appropriate ways to prepare the meat, so you can eat it at night, and shouldn't come at night. Ayur says, wait a second, Bamar Abai, Haiman the Isle Suda, Lo Lechle, Ela B'Yamama. It says that you should eat the Suda during the daytime, when you can see the food and enjoy it, like we brought down previously. The person who's blind doesn't see the food, doesn't enjoy it as much. The presentation is everything. So Abaye says, but you're supposed to eat it during the day. Why are you telling me Shlo Yochal Adam Basar Ela Balayla? Someone says, no, it means Ke'enim, it means like the daytime Kamrina. In other words, you should eat it in a lit room. You shouldn't eat it in the dark. But in order to prepare it properly, should it come early enough in the day that you could prepare it so it's still daytime, it's still light out when you want to eat it. If you want to wait till nighttime to eat it, that's okay also when you eat it with light. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, betchilo Yisrael, domim kitar negolim. Before Moshe Rabbeinu set up to have the man eaten in the morning, have a morning meal, and have an evening or afternoon meal, so Klai Yisrael ate like a chicken. Betchilo Yisrael, domim kitar negolim, shemenakrin ba'ashba. A chicken doesn't sit down and have a meal. It takes a bite, it takes a bite, it takes a bite all day long. It's pecking away in the ashba at the little nibbles of food that it has there. However, Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, that's not a proper way for a mensch to eat. So Achabo Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kovel Hemsman Suda, he said, have a meal in the morning, a breakfast, and have an afternoon meal later in the day. Then we continue dashing about the Slav, Haboso Odeinu Bein Shinehem, the meat was still within their teeth, and they died. As the Pasuk says, Haboso Odeinu Bein Shinehem, Terem Yikores, V'af Hashem Chora Bo'om, Kodesh was very unhappy with Klai Yisrael that how dare they say that the man wasn't good enough, they didn't have enough meat, and that they needed more meat. I'll show you. He gave them so much meat, as we'll see in the Pesukim, that some people died, they ate the meat, and they died while the meat was even still being eaten. But another Pesuk says, others died, it took them 30 days to die. So what's going on? Okay, it's not. Did they die right away, or did they die after 30 days? So the Gemara answers, how do you explain this? Reconcile these two psukim. So okay, it's that. So benonim li'altumesu. The benonim, they died right away. They weren't made to go and suffer for 30 days. But the rishayim, they were made to suffer. Mitzdarim v'holchin ad chodeshom. They had to wait 30 days before they died. In other words, they suffered. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, gave them a hard time. They didn't just die nicely and easily like the people who were also not good. All the people that died were all bad, but there were different levels of badness. There were some that were real outright Rishayim, and others just went along with the crowd. So the ones that went along with the crowd, they died. Habaso Denim Shneim. The ones that were the real Rishayim, so they were Mitzdarim V'Holchin Al Chodeshom. Then the Gemara says about the month, it says, Vayishtichu. The whole Pasuk tells us. Even the littlest one took these 10 portions, and it says, there was so much of the slav around that they had to stretch it out all over the encampment. They spread it out all over the camp. Amar Yishlach Yishlach says, don't read the word vayishtichu as it means that they spread it out. Al tikri vayishtichu, ela vayishchatu. They had to shecht it. Malami, shenishchayvu soneim shayisro shchita. And this is a play on the word vayishchatu, not that they shechted the man, but it shechted Klai Yisrael. These are bad people that were asking for the slav, and they got punished as a result, and it means that they got killed. Again, that's always a euphemism. When it says Sonem Shizol, it means Chai, so we just don't want to say it. So they were Chayv Misa, which they unfortunately were punished. Then it says, Shotoach, Vayishtuchu Lahem Shotoach, Svivo Samachane. So what does that mean? Spread out. So Tonim Mishmei the Rishuban Karcha. Again, we have another Brisa that said over the name of Rishuban Karcha. Don't read the word Shotoach Al Tikri, Shotoach El Shachot, that you have to go and shecht it. So this Brisa tells us, Malami, Shorad Lahem Lisrol Im Hamon, Dover Shaton Shlita, that along with the man, and the moon came in the morning, and this slav came in the afternoon. So, Malamit Shorad Lahem Lisrol Im Hamon, Dover Shaton Shlita, that it required Shlita. So that's where the idea that these slav, this bird, requires shlita is this brisa tana mishmei Rishua ben Karcha. On the other hand, Rebbe disagrees. There's a different reason that we know that these birds require shlita. Amar Rebbe, v'chi mikana talamed, is this the drasha that you know the birds require shlita? No, pelo kvar ne'amar, we have a different pasuk. This pasuk is found in Tehillim, and it says, Mayam teraleim ke'ofar she'er u'kechol. Now, the gersa we have is hayam, but it really should be yamim. Of Kanof. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them so much meat and birds, it was like the Yamim, as much as the seas. V'tanya, and we learned in the price on this, Rabbi explained this drasha from Tehillim, Rabbi Yomer, V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, and you will go and slaughter as I told you to go and do. The Pasuk actually says, V'zavachta mibekorcha u'mitzoncha asher nosar Hashem l'cha kasher tzivisicha v'yachalta bisharecha b'chol avas navshecha, and you'll eat as much as you want. And this teaches us that this is where Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klai Yisrael, where Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Hashem and taught Klai Yisrael the requirement to go and shach the veishet, the esophagus, the food pipe, and the kone, the trachea, the windpipe. and arov echoy b'ov. And this was by an animal, you have to cut at least 50% of both the trachea and the esophagus. And by a bird, you halachically only have to cut one of the two pipes, half, rov echoy b'ov, 50% of either the trachea or the esophagus. Rov shtayim b'ema, and both pipes, at least 50% of both pipes by an animal. And he says, we learn this out over here, Aloch l'mosh b'sinai, Ella, ma tam l'mo shatoach. So that's what we know, that you go have to go shech the bird. That's Aloch l'mosh b'sinai. So what does the word shatoach mean? That's not the source. Ella, Rebbe says, Malami shiordem mashtichin mashtichin. There were so many layers. Rashi tells us a foreign language word. We have slava you osin lifneim ala aretz. Mashtichin, they spread it out like a foreign language word that means a lot of layers of slav. That means that it fell a lot. Now we go back to the mon siv lechem. It says by the mon lechem, and it says uksiv shemen. It also says shemen, that the mon is referred to as shemen, uksiv dvash, and the mon is referred to as dvash. So the mon is referred to as all of these things. We already said lechem, and hini mam tir lechem lechem, and it says that it was dvash shatu on the lotu v'tochu merechayim. And it says, "V'hayo tamo kitam l'shad hashomen." And then we have that it's called dvash, v'tamo kitzap yichis bidvash. So we have, again, one pasuk that tells us that it's compared to lechem, one pasuk tells us it's compared to shemen, one pasuk tells us it's compared to dvash. Again, how do you have all three? So Rabbi Yosef Ruchanina, depends who you're talking about. La na'orim, for the young people, they needed bread, lechem. Laskenim, for the older people, that the bread was a little bit hard for them to digest. So shemen, it was more like an oil. And for the babies, latinokos, they want something sweet, dvash. Okay. Then the Gemara tells us more about the slav. And the pasuk is technically written without dots, so it's ksiv, shlav. It could be written as a shin, a right-sided shin, that's pronounced as a shin sound, not a sin sound. But we pronounce it, the karina, and slav. Now, they use a samach over here, because in the Gemara, we don't have dots, you wouldn't know when it said ksiv, shlav, or karina, and shlav, you wouldn't know which one is which. So therefore, it tells us shlav with a shin on the right side, a shah sound, but it's pronounced with a sin on the left side, a samach sound, the karina, and slav with a samach. So which one is it? So I'm a Rabbi Chanina, it depends. Rabbi Chanina tells us, Tzadikim ochlen oso b'shaba. Tzadikim ate the slav, it came down, they weren't asking for it, but it came down. So HaKadosh Baruch said, Gizunte, go and eat it. So they could go and eat the slav b'shalva. And that's why it's spelled Shin Lamed Yudvav, which tells us shalva. The shin over here is the right-sided shin, telling them that the tzadikim ate it b'shalva, with peace. However, the Rishayim, who were punished for asking for it inappropriately, for the Rishayim, it was like a sin on the left side, like a samach sound, the sa sound, kisilvin. Rashi tells us, kisilvin is kotsim b'loshen arami. This is like thorns. So therefore, this slav was tasting to them like thorns. They didn't eat it with peace. Furthermore, Amar Rechanin bar Rava, Rav Chanin, who was the son of Rava, said, Arba mine slav hein. There are actually four different types of birds known as the slav, the Eluhain, and these are their names. There's one bird called the Sichli, there's one bird called the Kibli, the one bird called Bisyoni, and then there's the bird that's known as the Slav. These are four different types of Slav. One of them is called Slav itself. And the best one of all of them, Ayo, the Kulu, is Sichli. That's the first one. And the worst one of all of these four, Geria, the Kulu, is Slav. They're written in Mestama in order. The first one is the Sichli, that's the best, then the Kibli, then the Bisyoni, then the Slav. Now, that's the least good of them, is known as the Slav. And nevertheless, that was a great bird from a food point of view. Grialet, the Kulu Slav, even though that's the least of all of the four, Vavikitsiparta, and it's a small little like bird-like quail, Umozvina and Lobatanura, nevertheless, when they put it into the oven, Rashi says that this was the way. They would stick it on a spud and put it into the oven. They would roast it on a spit in the oven. So they would put it in the oven. The tofach, it would swell up because it was so juicy, it was so schmaltzy. Baba Malay Tanuri, it would fill up the entire oven. It started off as a little bird, but it was so schmaltzy. When you roasted it, it would swell up, and it had so much schmaltz on it. Umaskina Le'atlesa Rifi, they had to put it on 13 slices of bread. Viachrona, and the bottom slice of bread, Ena Nechelis, it was still so filled with schmaltz that it couldn't even be eaten. Ain't an echelis el aide teruvus. You have to mix it with something else. Rashi says, "Alachas kam v'kama." The top one, b'kosh kein ol yonos. That's how much schmaltz came inside even the most inferior of these four types of slav. Then the word says, "Rav Yehuda mishtachach lebei dani," that this slav came down. It was asked for inappropriately, but it was given to the righteous people, tzadikin ochel so b'shalva. So this is not just a nace that occurred in the midbar. This occurred, the Gemara tells us, for great Talmidei Chachamim, even in the later generations. And Rav Yehuda, for example, Mishtachach Lei Ben Dani, he would find Slav Ben Dani. What a Dani? Dani means Ben Chov Yosef, Rashi tells us. He found it in between his barrels. Shayu Mamtzin Lo Min HaShemayim. From Shemayim, they sent him Slav, and he found it in between his barrels. Rav Chisda mishtachach lebeitzivi. Rav Chisda found tzlov in his tzivi, in his wood, in his otsar of wood. So he found it over there. Rava, who was Rav Chisda's son-in-law and his Talmud, Maisele Arise Koyoma. His aris, his sharecropper, would bring him back slav that he would bring from the field every single day. One day it stopped. Yom Echad Lo Aiti. One day the aris didn't bring back any slav to Rava. Rava said, what's going on? Omer, my high. Oi, what's going on? He knew something bad was going on. So Solikli, he went up to the roof to go and listen to a child learning up on the roof what pasuk he was learning. They would use this as a form of nevuah. They would go and ask a child what he's learning, and depending on what the child answered, they would take that as a simon from Shemayim. So Shamali Yanuka Dekomer, he heard a child that was learning the following pasuk. This pasuk is from Habakkuk, and it says, Shamati, I heard, but Tirgaz bit me, and inside I became very, very scared. I was very much afraid. So Batirgaz bit me. So Rava realized some terrible tragedy had happened. Omar, oi, Shema Mina, I have to learn from this idea that this child said this pasuk in Habakkuk, Noch Nafshi the Rechista, that my great father-in-law, my Rebbe, Rechista, has passed away, and that's why I didn't get any slav today. He only recognized Ubedil Rabba, because of my great Rebbe, as Rashi says, Bechus Harav, Ochel Talmid, Ochel Talmida. Only reason I got it wasn't because I'm so great, Rabba said. Rabba was really very, very great, and he was being very humble. But he realized that his great father-in-law, Rav Chisda, was the source of him getting the slav. And he said, only because of the Rebbe, my father-in-law, was I eating the slav. And Nebuch, when he passed away, the slav stopped coming to me. Now the Gemara tells us additional dinim about the slav, and this is a famous din that we have lecha mishnah. We have a minhag to cover up the bread. Now many people know about the minhag to cover up the top of the bread with a mantle, with some sort of a challah cover. But there are those that have the custom that they also cover below the bread. Now, whether you're using a challah board or whether you're using a tablecloth, whether that's good enough, or some people put it specifically some sort of a napkin or a mappa underneath the bread. And that's to fulfill this Gemara, that the man was encased, but the dew underneath it and the dew above it. So now that's this pasuk that we're learning. It says that the layers of the tal came down. And it says, and it says elsewhere that the tal came down as well. So what does this mean? Did the tal come on top of the man, or did the tal go below the man? So Amar Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, both. Tal milamala and tal milamata. We had tal that was underneath the mun, and then we had tal that came down on top of the mun after the mun came down. Vidome, and this is like kemo shemunach bekufsa, like it was put into a kufsa. Kufsa is a case. So therefore, it's as if the mun was encased with a layer below it and a layer above it, and that's the source of the custom that I mentioned, that we have a covering below the challahs and a covering on top of the challahs, because the mun didn't fall on Shabbos. A double portion came, Lecha Mishnah came on Erev Shabbos, and to remind ourselves of the miracle, so we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos. But to further remind ourselves of the miracle, how the mun came down, we bedavka have a cover underneath the mun, underneath the challah, and on top of the challah. Then the pasuk describes that the man was referred to as dak mechuspas, very, very thin, like mechuspas. What does that mean, dak mechuspas? Amar Rish Lakish, it means davar sheni moach al pisas hayad. Rashi says this is a lashon nutrikon, this is like a mnemonic, and it says that the word mechuspas means the nutrikon for moch and pas. So it's nimuach, which means broken down, al pisas hayad, and it comes into your hand, it's melted into your hand. Okay, so that's mechuspas, a nutrikon. That's Rish Lakish's understanding. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, Dover Shenivla, B'mosayim V'arboim Ushmona Evarim. The gematria of mechuspas is 248. And now there are 248 bones in the body. Those are called the evarim of the body. So therefore, the mun was the perfect food. It got absorbed into the 248 bones of the body, and it didn't have any excretion. There was no waste. It was a perfect food. There wasn't a single thing in there that was a waste, an unnecessary product. And when the body ate the mun, it was absorbed fully into the body, and there was no need to go to the bathroom. Nobody defecated after eating just the mun. Mar says, really? The gematria of mechuspas is 248? But spell it out. Mem, ches, vav, samach, pei, samach is actually 254. It's not 248. Mechuspas tuvahave. So how can you tell me that it's 248? So Mar says, no. You have to look at it the way that it's pronounced. It's pronounced with a vav, but it's actually spelled without the vav. There's like a kubitz underneath the ches. And therefore, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, mechus pas, ksiv, without the vav. Without the vav, it adds up to be 248. And therefore, Rav Yochanan tells us it's absorbed entirely into the body. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn further in the Braisa that the man is referred to as Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. That Ish, meaning Klal Yisrael, although we'll see later on it's talking about a specific Ish as well, Lechem Abirim Ochal Ish. So the Pasuk in Tilim tells us that man ate this Lechem Abirim. What is Lechem Abirim? So we have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva says, Lechem Shema Lachaya Sharis Ochlin Oso. Divri Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that the Malachim eat man. Amazing thing. The Malachim, we view in our minds that they don't eat, they don't drink. So, in fact, the Malachim are sustained by man. Exactly how they eat it or what, I don't understand Rabbi Akiva's Shita, but Rabbi Akiva says that the Malachim somehow eat man, that they are sustained by the man. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with that. When the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva told this over to Rabbi Shmuel, he said, no, I think Rabbi Akiva is making a mistake. Go tell Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, again, he was his colleague, he called him Akiva, but the Talmidim, of course, called him Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva to Isa, you made a mistake, Rabbi Akiva. Do the Malachim really eat bread? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and he said, I was like the Malachim. On Yom Kippur, we're like the Malachim, we don't eat. So what do you mean that they ate man? But look, the pasuk tells us, Lechem lo ochalti, umayim lo shasisi. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he said, I was like the Malachim. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. So what do you mean that the Malachim eat man? That's not true. Elamani mekayim. What does it mean then when the pasuk says, Lechem abirim ochalish? What does abirim mean? If it doesn't mean Malachim, whose bread is it? Elamani mekayim abirim. Lechem shenivla b'masayim v'arboim u'shmona yivarim. Oh, that's the drasha that Rabbi Yochanan said before. And Rabbi Shmuel holds like that drasha as well, that it was bread, the man was the bread that was absorbed perfectly into the body. I, elamani mekayim, v'yosei tia l'cho ala zinecha. Now we have the words afterwards, v'yosei shom chutz, so that doesn't make any sense. That should be deleted over here. That's why it's in parentheses. And in fact, that's the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says, you'll go outside the encampment and you'll take with you a shovel. So the pasuk is that if you're going to have to take a shovel to go and cover up your excrement outside the camp. So Rabbi Shmuel and also Rabbi Yochanan, the question is on them. What do you need a shovel for? You're not going to the bathroom. The mud is so absorbed perfectly in your 248 bones. Elmani makayim. What do you need? Why do you need to have a shovel? In addition to all the clay zayin, the azinecha that you have, why do you need a shovel? So Gemara says, Dvarim shetagari umos ola mokhri nosam lehem. They would go to the bathroom because they didn't only eat man, they would sometimes eat what local peddlers sold to them. And therefore, that's why they went to the bathroom, not because of the man. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Prato disagrees. Rabbi Elazar ben Prato told me, no, even the things that they bought from these peddlers, av dvarim shetagari umos ola mokhri nosam lehem, even though those salespeople that sold them other stuff that wasn't man, nevertheless, mon mefigon, the mon inside their bodies, would digest that as well and make that a perfect food as well. So there'd be no waste from that. So then why do they need shovels? Elamani mekayim yosetia l'cho alasinecho, according to Rav Elazar ben Prato, what do they need to have shovels for? So it means, li'achar shesarcho, after they nebuch sinned. As Rashi says, shenislonenu alkach, they complained about the mon. The mon was a perfect food. And they called it, in this week's parsha, we just had it, in parsha's chukach, they called it the lechem hakilokel. It's called the lechem that is kal. Ah, this stuff, you don't even go to the bathroom from it. It can't be good for you. Rachman al-Islam, this is something, a sin that we do today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something, and we dismiss it. Right? The people that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's given us things, that's not really good. That's not something special. That's not something good. This is a terrible thing that we are mislonein, that we complain about the unbelievable good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. So therefore, la'acha shesarchu, after Klal Yisrael complained about it, HaKadosh said, okay, you think it's bad? So then I'm going to make you go to the bathroom. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti yu kamalech ha'sharis, I gave you the unbelievable thing that you don't have to go to the bathroom. You have the perfect food, it doesn't make you go to the bathroom. Achshav, no, you want to go to the bathroom? I'll make you go to the bathroom. Now you're going to go to the bathroom. Ani matriach osam sholosh parasos. You're going to have to walk 12 kilometers. A parasol is 4 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. You're going to have to walk 3 times 4. So you're going to have to walk 12 kilometers in order to go to the bathroom. No, that's what you wanted. That's what you're going to get. Tchsiv, and this is based upon the pasuk. How do we know that it's 3 parasols for their encampment? Because it says, yishimos ad ovel hashitim. When Klal Yisrael made their machaneh by the Yarden, when they crossed the Yarden, so it says that they were between a certain places, beis hayishimos ad evel hashitim. And how much is that? The Amar Rabbi Barachana. Rabbi Barachana says, I myself saw that place. L'di chazi lihau astra, I saw that area. Chol asar v'asar, we say in Kaddish, means that place. V'habio t'loso parse. And the distance between beis hayishimos ad evel hashitim was 12 mil. 3 parsa. Again, each parsa is 4 mil, so 12 mil. V'tana. And we learn further, Kinish and Ifnin, when Chai Yisrael had to go to the bathroom to relieve themselves, they weren't allowed to relieve themselves except behind the encampment. They couldn't relieve themselves, Ein Nifnin, Lo Lifnein, Lo Lasedein, couldn't relieve themselves in front because they didn't have to travel over that area. Couldn't do it to the sides because maybe they'd go sideways. They never went backwards. And therefore, El Lacharam. So they had to travel in the encampment, to the end of the encampment, a distance of 3 parsa just to go to the bathroom. They were given the unbelievable gift of the month that didn't make them have to go to the bathroom, and they complained about it. So Hashem said, okay, good, you want to go to the bathroom, now you're going to have to go to the bathroom. Similarly, V'yato nafshenu yevesha ein kol, Klai Yisrael said, ay, we're so thirsty, we have nothing. What does this mean? Amru, osid mon zeh. The Klai Yisrael complained about the mon. This mon, shetifach v'meyem, it must be destroying our insides, because it's not coming out, so it must be staying inside and swelling up and destroying our stomachs. Klum yesh yilud isha shemachnis v'eno motzi. Could there be such a thing that somebody takes in food, anybody born of a woman, can take in food and not have to give it out? You have to excrete stuff. And therefore, they complained about the man. Again, Musa Haskell for us. We shouldn't complain about unbelievable good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, because they'll say, you're complaining about it? I'll take it away. Then the Gemara says, Ukishin Emru, Dvarim Levnei Rabbi Yishmael. That story that we had earlier, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yishmael, that their Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, said that the man was the lechem of the Malachim. So he said, Amalahem, Al Tikri Abirim. So he said, don't read the word Abirim like Rabbi Akiva did, which means angels. Malachim, Elo Evarim. Read it, Abirim, as Evarim, meaning that the man will be absorbed within your 248 Evarim. Dover Shenivla b'masayim v'abam mishmona Evarim. The man is absorbed totally within your 248 bones. Elo, then, according to this, we ask the same question we asked before. So what do you need shovels for? Elamani makayim yosati elohalas in echa. In addition to your weapons, you're going to need to have a shovel to go to defecate. So that's b'dvarim shabam lehem yudin asayam. That would be the things that they purchased from Medina Sayyam, from faraway places, that according to this opinion, it was not like a Rulazim and Prat, that it said that the man was mafikit, that the man digested everything that they would eat with it. But according to this opinion, no, those other foods didn't get fully digested. There's no perfect food other than the man, and therefore they needed to go to the bathroom to defecate, and they needed the shovels for those other foods. This is the first understanding of the pasuk. The pasuk is lechem abiru ochal ish. So now we're going to dash in the word ish. Until now we've been saying this referring to all of Klai Yisrael. But now, dover acher, another way to dash in the pasuk, lechem abiru ochal ish, and we turn to ayin vav amud aleph, and it literally means an ish. Is there Yeshua? This is a reference to Yeshua. Sheyared lo mon kineged kol Yisrael. He received an equal amount of mon that all of Klai Yisrael had against him. Kesiv hachi ish, and how do we know this? Because it says over here in regards to the man, it says, Lechal abirim ochal ish, uksiv hasam, and it says over there as well, Kach lecho es Yoshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take his successor, to take Yoshua, Yoshua was referred to as an ish. So just like Lechal abirim ochal ish is referring to a specific person, which ish? So it's ish, Yehoshua. Where it says, maybe it's Moshe. Vema Moshe. Maybe Lech Amir Ochal Ish is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is also called Ish. The pasuk says, Veha Ish Moshe, on of Ma'od. So Moshe Rabbeinu is also called an Ish. So Gemara says, no. Don in Ish Me Ish. The word Ish is said by the man Lech Amir Ochal Ish, and it says by Yoshua, it says Yoshua Ben Nun Ish. So the word Ish directly with the word Ish, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vein Don in Ish Me V'ha'ish. Moshe Rabbeinu is V'ha'ish Moshe on a boat. Now, why you can have a Gzeirah Shavah between words that aren't even the same? We find that in many places. But if you have a choice to make the exact connection with the words that are identical versus a word that's a similar root, so then we make the drasha done in Ish Me'ish as opposed to Vein done in Ish Me V'ha'ish. With this, we conclude today's share.